Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, it's going to be a busy couple of days. Like, these are organizational setting days for the next 5-10 years, maybe longer. Like, the stadium situation, you hope, is an organizational thing for 50 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, minimum a quarter of a century. Yeah, minimum.
You build it right, you hope it's there for 50.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not moving, and you're playing there. Like, the United Center, they did right. And, you know, how long would you say they've got over at the United Center? They've got another 25 years at the United Center.
I think so.
You know, they built that in 93, 94, somewhere around there they moved in, I think. And, you know, what is that now? It's 30 years ago?
That's 30 years, 30
so,
plus.
So they've got another 20 years in there. At least that thing's still great. You got to build this thing right. You got to get it right. No more cutting corners. No more like spaceships.
Well, that's why I'm saying, like, facility. I mean, look, I get it. They took 20 months to rehab Soldier Field. Like, do you like what they did?
No.
Okay.
Nobody liked what
right.
they did.
And my guess is that, you know, to do an entire stadium, it's going to take at least twice as long.
Think about how long it took them just to get the turf right.
Right.
Just to get the turf right.
It's just a long project.
And then the quarterback situation, you know, they have this press conference tomorrow. Danny was all hot and bothered that they're doing it tomorrow. So was Big Cat. I don't understand what the big deal is. Like, they want to go, as you hear from our reporters, they know it's a long road ahead. The sooner they announce it, the sooner they get to work on it, the sooner they get it approved, the sooner you start construction. Just because you're drafting on Thursday doesn't mean you can't announce it tomorrow. Do you know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean. We can do more than one thing at a time.
So them announcing this tomorrow, them drafting on Thursday, these next 36 hours for the Bears will be as exciting as anything we've seen from the Bears in a long, long time.
I think you've got the attention of this city right now because of the draft. I have no problem with them also revealing their stadium plans downtown the day before the draft. The one thing that we always used to joke about is they couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time up there. They struggled to walk and they struggled to chew gum. And to do it at the same time was way too big an ask.
Yeah, they're building now, out they're building out their front office too.
Right. Like, they have the capacity to do more than one thing at a time right now, and I got no problem with them doing what they're doing.
Listen, the only thing I'll push back on though is most teams want to have the attention whenever possible. The Bears are the center of attention, not just in Chicago, but of the entire NFL universe today, this week, leading up to Thursday, and even on Friday, when the reaction to Caleb Williams being drafted is going to be the story. So it makes me wonder, why are you doing this the day before? You know you're going to have everybody watching you. Is it because you don't want people diving in deep into what you present on Wednesday? It's impossible to know until we see what their presentation is tomorrow.
Well, you can't hide it.
We're diving
deep. I mean, you can't hide it.
It's going to be the lead story on the news.
Yeah.
Forget the sports.
For less than 24 hours, though.
No, like, I mean, but it's still, this is a news story. This isn't, the news isn't going to just cover the draft or won't cover the draft at all. This impacts the entire city. This is a news story.
Of course, but the Bears as an entity, everything will be talked about surrounding them will become Caleb Williams on Thursday.
But once the draft comes and goes, while Caleb Williams will still be a topic of conversation, like Sylvie said, inside the sports world, the news world will be completely absorbed in the stadium issue. So, I mean, it's not like you can just kind of, it's not a news dump. Like, you can't just announce this and then kind of just ignore it.
Like, if you waited a week, if you waited a week to do it separately from Caleb Williams, what's the downside there?
What I
you're separating your stories. If you're truly proud of like what you're about to present tomorrow, and you think there's nothing that you're trying to hide in terms of what you're going to ask the state and the city to fund.
What is the downside to announcing it tomorrow?
I don't know if there's a. If you want, like, everybody to be paying attention to what you present tomorrow, like, it's going to be. Well, everything's going to shift to Caleb Williams on Thursday.
But the NFL universe outside the city of Chicago, they're not going to be bothered by the stadium issues. They're going to be focused in on Caleb Williams and the Bears. So the NFL universe, you're going to get the eyeballs that you would get whether you were going to announce your stadium issue tomorrow or after.
If you waited a week, this is why I'm wondering what are you up to? I guess I want to see what the plan is.
I get your skepticism because the Bears haven't done anything right, and look, they just purchased land that they're not going to build on. So I get your skepticism. Their last stadium rebuild was a disaster. And they're looking to rebuild it 20 years later.
But my point is that you announce it tomorrow, you think it gets lost in the shuffle because of the draft, and then it disappears? No.
I mean, I don't, but I understand.
You're not going to hide it.
I think his argument is flawed, but I understand his skepticism of what are you trying to hide.
Yeah.
I just feel like most teams wouldn't put these two things like right next to each other. Unless you had something where you're like, you know what, the funding of this project is going to be asking a huge burden of the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago. And so we need them to be in a tizzy about Caleb Williams, the new quote-unquote franchise quarterback. And that's why we're going to try and get this all wrapped up together.
I just think Kevin Warren will probably be asked this. I think his answer will be, we need to get to work on this as quick as possible.
Right.
There are no days off, and the sooner the better for us.
I think it also, they're going to play it this way, Mellor, that this enhances like our message. Not only do we have the first overall pick, and is our organization pointed in the right direction, we've got these brilliant plans for a brand new stadium on the lakefront. Like, on the field, we're trending in a beautiful direction. Off the field, we're going to build you a fantastic facility.
We're building
to play
everywhere.
These games.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah.
We got to get the city's funds before the White Sox come in here and score a run
true.
And win a game.
Yeah, that's true.
And then
as
get
well.
Everybody all on their side.
But I get the skeptical approach to this. Look, it's the same reason why there are some people out there that still believe the Bears are going to screw this up with the quarterback.
Yes.
Because they've always screwed it up.
That's why. Right, right. It's the same thing.
I get it. But to reach out and hug you and hold you, I would say you can't blame the sins of previous offices,
like
the presidents, on the current people.
Sure, but a year ago, like to that point, and look, I'm super optimistic about both. This is the direction I'm cool with. A year ago, where were we? A year ago, we're like, all right, Justin Fields, let's go. In Arlington Heights, let's go. A year later, it's Caleb Williams time, and it's downtown stadium time. Do you know what I'm saying? So I understand the skepticism on both.
Well, I think I had the Bears winning 7 or 8 games last year. I think I have. My optimism for them on the field is greater this year than last year.
Of course it is. But do you know what I'm saying? Like, it was Fields or bust last year, and it was Arlington Heights or bust just a year ago.
I'm just suggesting to you, when you deliver the message, doesn't change the message. And people are going to go over this with a fine-tooth comb
tomorrow.
Whether it's tomorrow or it's Thursday or Friday or next week or whatever it is, this story is going to be front and center for a long time.
312-332-3776. And polls spoke today. This was, I thought, the key bite. It's short and sweet. A lot of people are like, hey, we've gotten this call a lot. First, it was over the first pick about trading down for the haul. And now it's trading down from 9. And Poles doesn't sound like he's in a hurry to trade down for more picks. The question that he reacts to, because it's a yes or no answer, is, do you feel like you need to add more picks?
No, I feel really good at where we're at. If that happens, that's great. If we have less, that's whatever we need to do to kind of accomplish what we're setting out to do and improve our football team.
And I thought that was the key. He volunteered that. That's a volunteer answer. If we have less. No one asked him about trading up. He just volunteered. If look, we don't feel like we have to trade back. No. And oh, by the way, if we have less than four picks, that's okay too. So there are some circumstances that he's got it on top of the mind that he thought he'd volunteer that there are trade up possibilities for the Bears. That was very interesting, and he's always been candid with the way the Bears are thinking. I also think this is the way he sort of, there are a couple of answers about the way he summed up with the Bears roster right now.
Yeah, things shift and change as you go along. It's going to be hard to make this team now. It's going to be really hard to make this team. That doesn't mean you don't want more shots later. We'll always welcome a lot of picks, but it doesn't force you to panic about the situation we're in right now with how many picks we have. So it fits our roster, but it also fits kind of like we just talked about the current status of this draft and then moving forward what next year looks like as well.
And here's one about moving back. What is too far to move back if that does come up?
Yeah, as I've said in the past, like, we need to count, the players in certain ranges, and that's we would feel uncomfortable if we got outside of whatever threshold that is. So again, it's kind of depends on the first couple picks and how they move, and we'll kind of count them up and say, you know what, here's the line, we can't go past that.
So I think they've got players in mind.
I think they've got a bunch of scenarios laid out. They obviously are drafting quarterback at one. The Commanders are obviously drafting a quarterback at two. Then they've probably got several models built out with the Patriots trading. And then they've got several models built out where the Patriots draft a quarterback and then the Cardinals trade. They've probably got every scenario played out, and they know exactly what they're going to do based on how the first four picks are made.
312-332-3776. Michael in Winfield, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Michael?
Hey, fellas, what's happening?
You tell us.
I am jacked. This is the most excited I think I've ever been as a Bear fan in my entire life. I mean, my prediction is that they are going to move up and go get Marvin Harrison Jr. because if you look at what Ryan Poles has done, he's bringing in Keenan Allen, who's a pretty sure thing. And why would you do that? Obviously to solidify the wide receiver core, but also you're probably going to bring in a rookie wide receiver. So if you bring in Marvin Harrison Jr., you will now have the Bears be the best wide receiver core in the NFL, in my opinion. Now, granted, Marvin Harrison Jr. hasn't even attempted to catch a pass in the NFL, but based on his pedigree and his stats in college, that's what I think. And if you think about maybe they give a one next year, nine this year, maybe a three next year. In 3 years from now, if he's got Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase numbers, you're not going to care what they gave up because they're going to be a potent offense. So I'm pumped. I say let's go. 12 wins next year with Marvin Harrison 12. Jr., Caleb Williams. Let's go.
Like, that's what that's why I've said to the guys.
And the stadium built by 2026.
Right away. Yeah. Right. He's drinking the Kool-Aid.
It's a pop-up stadium.
But that's why I've said to you guys that I won't rage against a Marvin Harrison trade-up.
No.
I'm not like Cap, where I'm pounding my fist that you have to go up and get him. But what I do believe that if they do trade up for Marvin Harrison Jr., it won't be a move that they regret. I don't think, like, yes, I don't love giving away future draft capital, but I don't think that that's a guy that you'll say, oh, wow, we really regret trading up for him. Like Yurko was saying, like Pace used to love to trade up for a lot of picks, but he never traded up for a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, he
traded up for, did he trade up for Leonard Floyd?
I think so. Yes, yes,
like,
he did.
Like name some of the guys he traded up for. He never traded up for a guy like that.
Two things would lead me to want to sit at nine. And again, I won't rage either. I'm on the polls train right now. Like I'm sitting and enjoying the ride at the moment. If it gets bumpy, then I'll go in the back and throw up, or I'll ask for a drink or something. But right now, I'm trusting what he's doing. If he decides to trade up and draft more, how could I sit here and pound my table, the table with my fist and scream if he did something and went and added a Marvin Harrison Jr. I just believe that the drop off from Harrison Jr. to Odunze at nine, if they can get Odunze at nine, isn't worth. I don't think that the difference between the two players, just my opinion, is worth a first and a third next year. And again, the position, which I love, is not to me as valuable of position as your pass rusher or your quarterback or maybe even your left tackle. It's up there, but I would be just fine if they sat at nine and got Odunze. I'd be happy as I could be with that.
One thing is he might not know. You know, he might be getting a little bit anxious about Odunze actually being on the board at nine.
It could be.
Which could be the reason he could be compelled to say, you know what?
Just
let's
trade
go
up
and
the
get
guy.
The top wide receiver yeah. to ensure we land a wide receiver.
Yeah. Don in Plainfield, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Don?
How you guys doing? This is the Bear Man.
What's up, Bear Man?
Bear Man.
If you don't know who Bear Man is,
the Hall of Famer.
He's the one who wears the plank jersey. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame a couple years ago, the Fan Hall of Fame, and he wears the bear, the actual bear on top of his head.
Right. I'm actually leaving tomorrow for Detroit, so I'm going to be actually in the inner circle. Right close to the stage with 14 other Bear fans, and
nice.
Going to be cheering them on. This is the third draft in a row I'll be there. I'm just so pumped up. I can't believe it that, you know, we're getting Caleb. So, but my prediction is old at nine, and again, Rome Odunze. So the wide receivers are just too incredible this draft, like all the experts say, we can't pass on one of those. So that's right. And also about the new stadium, my prediction would be 29, but I'm not saying it's going to be in Chicago either.
Oh, you're still on the Arlington Heights bandwagon that this is just posturing?
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have it there because of the tailgating. I love tailgating, and unfortunately, I don't think there's going to be much tailgating left, but I'm just thinking there could be too many problems with the city of Chicago and Friends of the Park. And, and I think, you know, that the great thing is the Bears have a piece of land to fall back on, you know. They already got, you know, their plans for Arlington. So, but either what, I mean, but my prediction is 29, you know. So,
I think, Don, have a great trip and be safe. I think it's realistic to be cautious with when you think it's going to be open. I get it. You can build a stadium in 36 months. I'm fine with that. But I think if you ask the people up at Hallis Hall right now, and I bet if you ask Kevin Warren, he would tell you that his experience with the people in Minnesota went a little more smoothly than even early on it has gone with the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois.
State especially.
So, like, you can build a stadium in 36 months, but can you get the city and the state and the team and everyone involved and the people that, what are they called, the Friends of the Park?
Yeah.
Can you get them all on the same page, pulling in the same direction in a timely fashion? That I don't know.
What's the total? What would you set the over-under when we see Bear Man on TV?
Oh, that's with the Bears picking first overall. First,
and ninth.
First.
Three and a half?
First.
More than that?
How many times?
Minutes? How many times?
Oh. I was going to say, he'll be on in the first 10 minutes of the program.
He's going to be on before the picks
right
even made. Yeah.
Right.
Think?
He'll be doing it. Yeah. Like he always does.
Like he did with us when he came on.
How many times? Five?
Five times.
Five and a half?
Five times.
Oh, that's a lot, though.
Wait, I know, but.
Thursday only or whole weekend?
Thursday.
Thursday with the two picks.
I bet it's at least four.
I go over, if you set the number at 4.5, I think I'd take
those cutaways. They love their cutaways.
Yes.
If he's got front,
and he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, if he's got front row access, he's going to be on a lot.
Or do you think they're going to announce tomorrow that they've got an agreement with the state and the city?
I don't know. I think with
that's
the city.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Like, you still have so many issues that they have to hammer out.
Yeah.
And you know what the resistance they're going to get?
I think it's us in the city would like to do this, and then we've got to, like, hammer this out with Friends of the Park.
Friends of the Park killed the
state. We got to get funding.
The Lucas Museum, right?
Yes.
Like,
hey, Lucas got tired of it, and he took it to California.
I just think that the optimism that they're going to be able to find common ground with all parties involved to me, I'm not sure I share it at this particular time. I think it's going to take more time to find common ground.
Russ in Palos, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Russ?
Hey, thanks for having me. The limelight-seeking gas bag Warren has shifted this thing so that the stadium comes first. It's really unfortunate. I think if you poll the fans and you wanted to know who comes first, it would be seeing Caleb and letting Warren find some limelight for himself later. I can just imagine Warren trying to barge the stage over at that political convention this summer. I can't think of what he's done for the Bears yet.
You have a problem then with the announcement on Wednesday in front of the draft?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think Caleb should be the star. Let him be the star, and I think Warren can't stand that limelight being taken away, so he's pushed the envelope for himself. As I said, wait till the convention comes. Watch him try to push on a stage to be part of the political structure.
The DNC.
Yep.
This is what we do. So, like, we're following it closely. I don't think the vast majority of Bear fans are going to pay a ton of attention to it. They're focused in on the draft. I don't think tomorrow's presentation is going to take any of the limelight away from the excitement Bears fans are going to have for the draft and the draft.
I think you're right, and I think the percentage of average everyday people who go to Bears games is smaller because of the amount of games. Like Big Cat says, he doesn't go to a game.
Yeah.
He doesn't go to football games. He watches football games on the couch. A lot of people tell us that they don't care what the new amenities are at the stadium because they don't go to games.
We're aware of what's going to transpire tomorrow, and it's a huge deal because we're in the business. I can guarantee you the majority of Bears fans really aren't going to be dialed in to the renderings of the stadium to the point where it is going to take any of their attention or joy away from the draft on Thursday. I just don't think that's the case. I mean, we are paying attention to it because it's our business, but
I wish there could be like some sort of like express trains from somewhere right to the doorstep of Soldier. Can we do that?
Maybe they're going to unveil some plans that will provide that.
Like a Super Bears tram system.
A Super Bears tram system.
And
yes.
You know who
Super Bears, Super Tram,
you know,
Super Bears.
Do you know who the engineer
tram
is? George Wendt.
Woo-woo! Like, yeah, like load it up where you could park anywhere or park at like a main station in the city and you just.
Maybe Arlington Heights. They've got all that land. You could build a parking lot in Arlington Heights.
Tram
right to Soldier Field.
Like at the Magic Kingdom, you know, and you get on the monorail and then let's go.
Get a bullet train.
Yes.
Bears monorail. Oh, so good.
Bears monorail. And you just get on and it's air conditioned.
Called the Hester Express. It gets you downtown in 10 minutes.
What is your level of confidence that they could get that done?
No, it's zero.
Right.
It's zero.
Right.
They've been trying to build a train that goes from downtown to O'Hare and Express for 30 years. 30. I think they've dug a hole somewhere, and it's just a hole. I think it just remains a hole, and they haven't finished digging. I think, Daly wanted to do it.
Hole in nowhere.
Yes, it's just a hole. And
what's the name of that hole?
I don't know. Daly wanted, this express train that was supposed to get you from O'Hare to downtown in 15 minutes.
And it was all underground?
All underground. It's an express.
How the F do you get all underground
to block 20? Is it block 37? Block 27? What's the what block is this?
37.
Block
right down here.
37
yeah.
to O'Hare.
Get express. Out of here.
Underground.
You boom.
My ass. 15 minutes to O'Hare.
No, get out of here.
This has been a Google it.
No, I remember this being a thing.
This has been talked about for decades in Chicago.
That's fine. That will never happen.
We'll have the helicopters from Uber going to O'Hare before we have this thing.
Of course you will.
The Olympics, remember those grand plans?
Now, how'd that go?
Tried to get a World's Fair. I'm not talking about in the 1800s. Since then, make no small plans, my ass. 312-332-3776. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
The city of Chicago, having obtained the least number of votes, will not participate in the next round.
Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
We'll get Taki's A-list here in a minute. Then take some of these calls as well. 312-332-3776. I did not know that so many people would have a problem with the Bears announcing this tomorrow ahead of the draft.
I know. I mean, I don't think that. I don't think there's a ton of resistance to that. Again, I bet you 90% of the Bears fans have no idea it's even being done tomorrow.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, we'll talk about. I mean, like, it will be the top story tomorrow, though.
Of course it will. And then the draft will be the top story, and everyone will forget about the stadium on Thursday.
But it will still continue to come up.
Like, with us, it will.
Yeah. It will continue to come up. And it will continue to come up for the next several months. Brian on the Ryan, you're on ESPN 1000.
Brian on the Ryan?
Yeah, what's up, Brian?
Brian on the Ryan. Hey, guys, how's it going?
We're good.
Two-part thing. I think we should take a Doomsday at 9 or Best Available. And then what are your thoughts on, if you're worried about center Waddle, the Bears signing the former center from Miami who tore his ACL last November?
I was Brian on the Ryan. I got to tell you, I it's something that I definitely would look into. He's remained unsigned. That may be a guy that, you know, was available. When did they project he was going to be available?
I heard that it's really serious. Like that. Like I remember reading about him about a month ago because this was something that I was interested in. And then I read that this could be
more serious than your average ACL.
Yeah, I think his agent, who's the super agent in the NFL?
Drew Rosenhaus.
I think he's a Rosenhaus guy, and Rosenhaus didn't even really have an update.
Okay.
Maybe something has changed.
Well, obviously, that would play an enormous role in whether or not, maybe that's why somebody hasn't signed him already.
Yeah, yeah. Brian, thanks for the phone call.
But my concern about that position remains. And
yeah,
maybe
for
I'm
sure.
just being overly, you know.
And maybe this is the stopgap that they've got the two veterans to, like, figure it out this year while they draft a guy.
Yeah, I don't want a stopgap. I want the answer. I want that answer.
No, maybe they don't want to do the rookie thing and while to see how it goes that they've got, like, the backup plan, too.
I hope it's answer.
I think it's something
like
that
they had a rookie playing in Houston with their rookie quarterback. They drafted two rookies last year at center. Played them both.
Believe me, I want it solved too. I'm with you. All right, let's get to Aki's A-List.
It's time for Aki's A-List. From the mind of the man who understands the four P's of Waddle's world, Aki's A-List. The top questions and topics floating around in Tyler Aki's mind.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Aki's A-List on ESPN Chicago.
Tyler's got questions, and we try to provide these answers. And they're very thoughtful, unless they're not. There was one that I didn't like yesterday. Let's see if Tyler's got good
ones
today.
Which one did you like yesterday?
I forgot which one turned me off. There was one that turned me off yesterday.
All right, we'll check the tape and try to be better today. Ryan Poles also addressed the defensive line and what his philosophy is in building the defensive line. Here's what he had to say earlier today.
Yeah, things shift and change as you go along. It's going to be hard.
You know what? That was the wrong cut. Here's the actual cut about the edge rushing versus interior line.
Yeah, we've talked about inside and outside. Both are multipliers. Generally speaking, I would say the inside guy has the shortest path to the quarterback. So therefore, like if you have, and we both have lived with really good elite players that are in the inside, and it changes everything. And it opens up a lot for other teams as well. So, yeah, having that interior rush is probably a preference when you have an outside guy. It makes it really difficult to scheme up.
So that was him talking about the interior of the defensive line and building inside out. We've seen a lot of steam lately with Byron Murphy, the three tech out of Texas. Now, if you sample any random mock draft, in all likelihood, you'll find Dallas Turner as the first defensive player off the board. But if the Bears are to take the first defensive player off the board, do you think it is more likely to be Dallas Turner or Byron Murphy?
Is Byron Murphy a true three technique?
That's what Biggs has him as in his column.
All right.
I think there's a lot of smoke around him. I'm going Byron Murphy. I'm believing what I'm reading and knowing what Matt Eberflus's defense is.
I think it's a good point, and I'm not hearing as much buzz about the edge rushers as like with Will Anderson last year.
I just think there's too many things. Like there's nobody's perfect there. And not that everyone's perfect anyway, but do you know what I mean? There's still questions about. There's a different question mark about each guy.
That would be what now? That would be so they drafted. They drafted Dexter, they drafted Pickens, and then they would draft this kid. I mean, that would be three defensive linemen in 2 years, all drafted inside the top three rounds.
That's okay, though, if they're good.
It's a lot of ammunition spent on that spot. I thought Dexter was a guy that they were going to try and play as a three technique. Maybe they bounce him out. So I have no idea.
But you know when that three tech hits, He costs probably it's the pivotal. Most on the front end, on the free agent market, right?
Yeah.
Because there's so few of them who are impactful.
I think that most will tell you, too, that that's the anchor to this style of defense. So
remember, too, what one of their first moves they tried to make under Ryan Poles was trying to sign Larry Ogunjobi as well. All right, so we've got all this buzz about a new stadium for the Chicago Bears, but the rest of the NFL has focused elsewhere. They've all been concerned with new jerseys. We saw some from the Broncos yesterday, the Lions, the Jets, just to name a few, have all opted for some new threads for this upcoming season. Charlie Bevins texted me an interesting question yesterday. The Char Dog asked,
"Do you have any vodka?"
No, he asked me, by the way, did you see his pizza last night?
I did not.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed in him. After all I've talked about with Connie's frozen pizza, he goes for Walgreens brand? Like, has he not learned anything? Has he not been listening?
He made a Walgreens pizza?
Yeah.
I'll show you the picture at the break. It's atrocious. Anyway, he did have a good question, not a good pizza. A good question, though. Do you care more about, in general, not just for the Bears, but in general, do you care more about new stadiums or new jerseys for your team?
New stadiums.
New stadiums.
Really?
Whoa, time out. I don't care if you wear a burlap sack. Win.
Okay, well, I don't care if you play at Oz Park. Win games.
Well, right, but if you're asking me which I'm more interested in, it would be the creature comforts and the accessibility of a stadium versus the eye candy that a jersey would be.
For me, I don't really care about the new stadium. I care way more about the new jerseys that are going around the NFL, yeah.
Is that just an age thing? Do you think that is the explanation for that? He's more worried about how the jerseys look versus... Meller, you're a season ticket holder. I mean, if I give you a better product from a stadium perspective and you have greater accessibility and the in and out is easier and all of that stuff, do you really care what their jerseys look like?
I mean, I don't want it to be some, you know, atrocious...
Well, which do you care more about?
No, but... For me personally, it's definitely the stadium.
But like season tickets, yeah.
Yeah, as long as they're not hideous, like.
But it's not moving the needle for me, like, dramatically either way. Like a third jersey, like the Broncos. I love the old Broncos throwback uniform. They're going to bring it back next year. I was like, okay, cool.
You tell me, Tyler, I know you're young and you've got time and you got fresh legs, but when it takes you 3 hours to get out of that building after a game.
We were talking about it earlier. How many people don't go to games?
But you're still, you know, you're all enthralled with what this great-looking jersey is. Give me a holler then on the way back.
Go to NFLshop.com and order a new jersey. I don't go to games, really. No, I think a lot of people don't go to NFL games because the TV product's so good.
But, like, if you do go to games, that's a total experience. Having a player in a jersey really isn't an experience.
I will tell you what, though.
Don't you want to go to that stadium when they're starting to host the NFC title game? You want to be in that building.
Don't you think more people like buy jerseys than tickets, though?
Yes, because jerseys are less expensive than tickets.
Oh, I don't know. Well, they're pretty expensive these days.
Yes, but that jersey, like, I can like probably a good jersey, buy though. One jersey. If I'm taking myself and three of my family members to a football game, it's going to cost me, what, $500? Easy, $600.
Maybe more. I mean, if you've got a good team, like...
Was it weird for me, the Bulls playing game, like as bad as the Bulls were, when they played their home game, did they wear their black jerseys at home?
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember the jerseys, but that has been a gripe of mine in the playoffs, especially with the NBA. You'll turn on an NBA game on now, you have no idea who's playing each other.
That's what I didn't like. And I like
baseball, too.
Give me the Bulls home whites.
Yeah.
They were playing in their only home, quote, playoff game. It wasn't even really a playoff game. And they were wearing their black jerseys. And they don't even go with tradition anymore of wearing the black shoes for playoff games because everyone's got their own shoe these days. That's really an old school thing. Like the Bulls of the 90s always, when it was playoff time, would go with the black shoes. I loved that. And even like under Tibbs, I believe they did that too out of tradition.
Real quick, let me squeeze in one baseball question here. Kyle Hendricks hit the IL today with a back injury, or as Waddle said, what, an ERA hemorrhage?
Yeah, he had a hemorrhaging ERA.
Craig Counsell says that the Cubs are not done with Kyle Hendricks yet, but if I were to set the number at 2.5 more starts for Kyle Hendricks, would you take the over or the under?
I'm taking the over, too. At some point, like what, again, we talk about it. You're going to have seven guys starting games for you over the course of 162. And they're going to give him another spin at some point.
Yeah. And guys get hurt. And I think they're going to need him.
But he's been getting rocked.
Yes, like I agree with you. I agree with that, too.
There's no inspiration when he goes out and takes the mound.
I know. They have to get better. Like what concerns me more than anything, though, above Kyle Hendricks, and Hendricks is a big problem, is their bullpen. The bullpen is my number one problem with the Cubs.
Yeah, bullpen's an everyday problem, whereas Hendricks is a once every 5 or 6 days.
Yes. And then closing these games, you've got to finish one-run games. You cannot have these one-run games turn into losses with the frequency that they've turned into. You're good. You're already good. Like, think how much better you could be if you've finished some of these games.
Let's say they're up 6-4 in the ninth tonight. Who's pitching?
I don't know, but they're going to have some sweet uniforms on. That's all that matters.
I think it's lighter unless he gets you out of a jam earlier in the game. Like, that's a big problem, too. Like, what happens when you inherit a big jam? He's probably your most dependable guy of getting out of that jam. So now who comes in? Is it, you know, it's probably the pitcher that you got from the Astros.
Maris.
I mean, and he's not been great to start his Cubs career either. But who do you have?
Ben Brown?
I want him to start. Yeah, I like him to start.
I agree. I'm just throwing out an option.
We saw it the other day. It wasn't a high-leverage situation, but he
just
came out of the pen.
To the big Luke Little.
He really makes me uncomfortable. He looks uncomfortable. He's overly tall.
He looks like a power forward on the mound.
It just doesn't look right.
No, it doesn't.
Nothing looks right about Luke Little.
No.
I'm very uncomfortable watching Luke Little pitch. Yeah.
I don't like ironic last names either.
Yes. Exactly.
People don't like people with two first names. I don't like ironic last names.
Right. Like Madrigal should be Luke Little.
Right.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And he should be Nick Madrigal.
6'8", 220. His name's Luke Little.
The baseball looks so damn small in his hand.
Not to the guys at the dish.
Well, I know. Or it's
looks
going
like a
anywhere.
Baseball.
The problem is, too, he's never throwing strikes. Getting behind.
He thinks it's a 58-foot throw.
Yes. Exactly. Between him and Smiley. Like, he's throwing hard, can't find the strike zone. Smiley's throwing soft, and then he does find the strike. He's either in the dirt or throwing... like just a hanger for someone to smash.
Why did your front office leave you hanging like this with your bullpen?
I think it's
and
what
with
we
the entire staff.
I think it was the $27 million that was owed to Hendricks and to Smiley.
Well, maybe when you're up there, you can pass the hat and make a donation so Tom Ricketts gets all the requisite funds.
A couple extra 50-50
tickets
together. From you tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going, yeah. Driving out there in 15 minutes.
Will
in
you
the
play
Sequoia.
The 50-50 raft?
Yeah, I will. Yeah. Should I let my son hit the... Is yes. The, that's the in vogue thing yes. Now?
How send him the big $300 cat. Worth.
No, $300.
Worth. How pissed would Big Cat be if your kid hits it? He's and been wins. Playing this thing for years.
That would be the best.
Big Cat,
how power Sylvie's move would that be?
Sylvie's son's a winner. He's a winner.
Not a mush.
Not a mush. He's a winner.
I don't like, though, that you could play 50-50 raffle if you're not at the game.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
What's the point of playing being at the game and playing 50-50 raffle if anyone can buy it from their couch?
I don't get it. I don't like it.
I can't believe they allow it.
They do?
I think you have to I be within certain limits.
Of, what do you mean certain limits?
I think
limits?
You have to be within city limits to play it.
Do you
is it
really?
Geofence yes. for the 50-50?
I can't imagine you could be in Montana and just randomly play a 50-50
or,
raffle
or
in a
is
game
this
at
like
regular.
Legalized gambling in the state of Illinois? Anyone in the state of Illinois can now play. I'll go, I'm going to try tomorrow.
You should have to be in
couch.
The stadium to participate.
Yes, I agree.
I hope Javonte Porter wins the 50-50 tonight.
Is he going to be there?
Do you have right. to be?
That was a good Aki's A-list today. Very good.
Thank
that
you.
Was a good one. Except the uniform question. That was stupid.
Yeah, that was weird. That showed his youth.
All right. White Sox and Twins coming up at 6.
Yay!
We know how much you're looking forward to that. It's Waddle and Selvey.
And the White Sox down to their final strike. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Skies it on the infield. Castro calling everybody off, makes the catch, and the Twins shut out the White Sox 7-0. And for the first time in Major League Baseball history, a team has been shut out 8 times in their first 22 games.
It's been a tough go for the White Sox. We got White Sox and Twins coming up next. By the way, YouTube and Twitch brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Let's go sports bar. We're going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Woodridge on Friday.
Yes.
The day after the first round of the draft.
Partying with Carmen the Good Kid.
That's right. First them at noon and then us. We'll crosstalk with them at 2:30 and then we'll be there for the entire show. Buffalo Wild Wings in Woodridge on Friday. Tom Pelissero tweeted out the picture of Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. And he wrote, Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze didn't just take the same flight to Detroit for the draft. Told that Dunze recently caught balls from Williams, who also was throwing to Bears wide receivers Keenan Allen and DJ Moore.
Let's get it on.
So maybe that's their guy. Maybe they all know that. See what the league has to do with that. The rest of the teams picking up in front of the Bears. All right, thank you to all of the reporters who joined us on the roundtable today. Also to Barstool Big Cat who joined us. Tomorrow should be interesting with the stadium press conference. Meller and Tyler, thank you very much. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a fantastic Tuesday night.
It's the classic!
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bump, 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 bump.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.
I just want to say thank you all, and as always, f*** everybody else. I love y'all.